Hey, my name is Ryan McVitie, and I am the pastor of the River Worship. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. If you haven't heard about the River yet, it's an amazing move of God happening in the greater Toronto area. Yes, Toronto, Canada. It's a cold place, but we have warm hearts, and we love coming together every Tuesday night and worshiping the Lord with all we've got. We also get to dive into the Word, and that's where we're going to go right now. We're going to dive into the Word of God, and I trust and pray that it will impact you in a powerful way. If you're ever in the Toronto area, come visit us. We would love for you to worship with us together. But enjoy the message, and God bless you. I'm excited to bring you this word because this is something that I live through every day. Would you look to your neighbor and tell them the title of my sermon? Say, hard pressed. No, say it like you've been that way in your life before. Hard pressed. Woo! This message tonight is for the people who are feeling the pressure. This is for the people that are feeling the pressure, not from one side, not from two sides, but from every side. I want to ask you, let's do a little survey. This is church. This is the one place you don't have to front. Who here feels like they're under pressure? Come on, I just want to see where the liars are, the people that don't have their hands up, so I can pray for you. Who's under pressure? Well, you don't got financial pressure, health pressure, relational pressure. Put them down. This message is for you if you feel like you're under pressure. So often in my life, man, I feel pressure from so many sides. My grandma used to say this saying. She used to say, it never rains, it only pours. It's like when there's one thing, there's another thing, there's another thing. And look, I understand how difficult pressure can be to deal with, how paralyzing at times pressure can be if we don't deal with it. But tonight I pray, this is my prayer and I believe it, that the Word of God is going to set you free from the pressure and the weight and the burden and the heaviness that you live under. Does anybody believe that the Word of God can do it? I can't do it, but He certainly can. So we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul tonight. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let me tell you something. Paul knew a little bit about pressure. Paul was under pressure his entire ministry. So you got to understand, Paul was a bad dude. Paul was Saul. Paul hunted down Christians. Paul killed Christians, and he had a radical transformation, and he got saved, and then he becomes the Apostle Paul, the founder of so many great early churches. He's such a big part of the reason why we are here tonight, but he new pressure. In fact, in Acts chapter 23, this is crazy. I don't know if you know this. 40 men from the Sanhedrin, they took a vow. And the vow they took was this. They said they will not eat nor drink again until they kill Paul. 40 people. That's a serious amount of pressure. He went from being the persecutor to the persecuted. He was chased down. He was hunted. He lived under pressure. Now I'll give you a little spoiler alert. Those 40 didn't have success. God sent, of all people, Roman soldiers to go defend Paul. 200 soldiers, 70 cavalry, 200 spearmen to come to Paul's aid. You know why? Because God wasn't done with Paul yet. What the Lord sent me here tonight to tell you is that God is not done with you yet. That He's sending people to your aid, even people that you don't expect to come fight for you. But you're pressed right now. Hard pressed. It's hard right now. But tonight I want you to know this pressure that you're feeling is not going to be the end of your story. Does anybody believe that in the room? Would you help me preach a little bit tonight? Does anybody believe there's more to your story? Paul was shipwrecked, imprisoned, beaten, whipped, mocked, humiliated, robbed, about all the bad things you could imagine, snake bit, anything you could imagine happened to Paul. I, in fact, call him the pressure professor. It's like he had a PhD in pressure and pain. Y'all, you gotta understand, he's being hunted down no matter where he goes, persecuted. And then he founds and establishes 14 churches. Guys, I have established one, and I have stomach ulcers. I'm not kidding. 14 churches in a time where it was illegal to have a church. Imagine the pressure that this man lived under. I tell you all this as context so that when we read the Word of God, when we read what Paul said about pressure in 2 Corinthians, you understand the path that he's walking and the shoes that he is in. So let's jump in. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 is first going to come up on the screen. We are hard pressed. There's the title. We're hard pressed on every side. I can handle one. I can handle two. But when I'm pressed from every side, what do? He's hard pressed from every side. But guess what? Not crushed. He's perplexed. I don't know why this is happening. It doesn't make sense. I feel like I don't deserve this. I'm perplexed, but I am not in despair, Paul says. Verse 9, he says he's persecuted. Man, he was persecuted, but not abandoned. See, Paul understood that he was not alone. Would you look to your neighbor and say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Even if you leave me, tell him. Come on, say, even if you leave me. If you're married, it's all right. You can say it, even if you leave me. I'm not alone. I got the creator of the universe in my corner. So I'm going to make it. Come on, somebody. You're going to make it. You're not alone. Paul realized he was not alone. See, Paul said, this is the first point of the message. Paul said he's pressed, but he's not crushed. There's a very important distinction right there. See, you're pressed right now if you put your hand up. You're feeling the pressure. And the devil would like you to accept that you're crushed, but you're not crushed because you're not alone. You have one fighting for you. There's a very big difference, my friend. You might be persecuted, but you're not abandoned. You might be struck down, as verse 9 said, but you are not destroyed. You are here tonight praising God regardless of the pressure that you face. I want to tell you, this 35-year-old, slightly overweight preacher in a windbreaker he bought from Temu came tonight to tell you, I'm not lying, $16, double XL. You got to size up on Temu, baby. God sent me just like this to tell you tonight that if you are here and you have breath in your lungs, he's not done with you yet. Come on, somebody, make some noise. He's not done with you yet. There's more to your story. Though your weeping may endure for the night, somebody went to church, there will be joy in the morning. Woo! Where's the Pentecostals at? We love those verses. I love those verses. But here's the thing. I know there's joy in the morning, but the night is hard. What do you do in the night? How do you hold on? How do you deal with the pressure? It's hard under pressure. And pressure can feel like it's suffocating you. And look, if you don't deal with pressure properly, it can crush you. I've seen good men, good women, people who love God get crushed under the pressure. So we have to learn as Christians, as saints, what do? How do we walk when we're under pressure? Because friends, pressure will make you do things. Pressure will make you say things. Pressure will make you feel things that you will not feel absent the pressure, the pressing that's coming along. You'll make decisions that you later regret. It's funny, I didn't tell my wife I was going to say this story, which is always dangerous. But a few weeks ago, I was looking at our bank account, and I saw these monthly withdrawals, same amount going out, to this name that I had never seen before. And I'm like, this is kind of sus, you know? Suspect, sorry. And I asked my wife, hey, babe, what are these? Where are these? She's like, oh, my goodness, don't ask. And I'm like, why? What is this? What do you mean, don't ask? What is it? She's like, I was under pressure, and I said yes to something that I probably know now is a scam. And I was like, what? She's like, at the mall, there was a setup, and they're trying to sign you up for monthly donations for blind dogs. And I was like, what? So I get on the web, and I'm looking it up. Y'all, this charity doesn't exist. But she's like, how could I say no? There was a blind dog. And they're trying to raise money for it. How do you say no to that? When you're under pressure, you'll say yes to things that you wouldn't say yes to. I'll tell you another story. If you've been coming to the river for a long time, maybe you've heard it, but humor me for a moment. Lindsay and I, my wife and I, went with my family to Hawaii. Who's been to Hawaii? Anybody been to Hawaii? If you haven't gone, it is incredible. It is amazing, life-changing. It's expensive to get there, but y'all, it is amazing. We went out on a boat, big boat, a lot of people. We're a couple miles off the coast of Oahu, big island there. Beautiful, beautiful place, and we decided to go snorkeling. Who's been snorkeling? Let me see. Yeah, you've been snorkeling? Okay, that's great. I've been snorkeling too. My wife had not. She had not been snorkeling. And the McVitie family, we're wonderful people, but we have this psychotic teaching method. It's called throwing people into the pool. You heard of it? Where you don't tell them anything, you just push them in and let them figure it out. Amen, Shannon? Is that true, my sister? That's true. Okay, so we get on this boat, and Lindsay's like, hey, I've never snorkeled before. And we're like a couple miles from shore, and the water's very deep. I'm like, babe, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. I throw her snorkel in. I'll push her in the water. First mistake. She gets in. She's a great swimmer, though. I know she's going to be okay. She puts her mask on. It's hard, though, in the water. You're treading, trying to put your mask on, so I'm helping her. She's a little stressed. We're not having a fight, but it's a moment of intensity. You know, you ever have those in marriage? And we finally get out, and we get her mask set, and we got our snorkels in, and we're looking down, and she is having the time of her life now. Because if you have not ever snorkeled or scuba dived before, there's a whole world under the ocean that is just spectacular and totally different. And she's looking down, and she's pointing me on the shoulder, going, look, there's Nemo. There's Dory. Look at them all. They're so beautiful. And it's amazing, and all the colorful fish, and it's great. It's going great. I'm like, this is awesome. Now I can snorkel with her when we go on vacations. This is great. Then something crazy kind of happens. These huge sea turtles come by. Shells are like 2-3 feet. I'm like, man, I don't know how she's going to deal with this. But they come by. They're like, dude, because that's what turtles do. And I'm like, I don't know how she's going to react to this. She sees them. She loves it. She's swimming closer to them. She's adventurous. I'm like, this is amazing. We get to do this together for the rest of our life now. This is so great. And then I poke my head up, and I realize that we're a bit of a distance from the boat now. I mean, the boat is like farther than the back of this auditorium, which is a big place. And we're kind of out there. There's some waves. It's a little choppy. And then I look up and I see the captain. And the captain is standing on the swim platform of the boat, which was odd. And we make eye contact and I look around. There's nobody else in the water anymore. This is a big boat. And there's a lot of people. And he does something that Ryan McVitie prayed never to see in his life. You know what he does? He does this. Y'all aren't nautical people. Do you know what this means? This is baby shark. But I didn't envision baby shark. I envisioned big, great white shark coming to see how my leg tastes. And y'all, something came over me. I saw that happen, and I morphed into Michael Phelps, and I just hit, man, I was head over head, just crushing it. I'm confessing every sin that I have ever made in my life before God. I'm praying the sinner's prayer just to be sure, because I'm certain that that shark is right behind me, and my time is over, and I got to make it right with God. By the way, that's not really how it works. It's bad theology, but I did it anyway. I wanted to be sure, and And every fiber in me, I'm rushing to get back to the boat. And finally, I grasp the swim ladder, and I pull myself out, and I go, thank you, God. I'm alive. The shark didn't eat me. And I'm elated. I'm happy. And I look up at the captain, who was looking at me in judgment. I was like, yo, this man needs Jesus. He's judging me. What is going on? And he just looks at me with disgust, utter disgust. And then it hits me. I have a wife that I completely left. And she's about to be a shark snack. So I look back, and she's got her hand up in the air like, what's going on? Why'd you leave me? And she's smiling, and I'm like, dear Jesus, what have I done? This is so terrible. When she finds out that there's a shark in the water. And then, guys, I'm not kidding. The craziest thing happens. It wasn't a shark. About 50 feet from this beautiful woman of God, a whale the size of the boat turns its ugly back up over the water. Thank God she wasn't looking that direction. So I just wave at her, act like nothing ever happened. She comes in. She's like, why'd you leave? I'm like, oh, no worries, babe. I just, you know, had to get a snack, had to get back to the boat. That was great, wasn't it? And she comes back. And then she finds out that her no good husband left her to be eaten by sharks. But when you're under pressure, you're going to act different. When you're under pressure, you don't always think clearly. When you're under pressure, you got to be careful. But don't judge me, okay? It was, I didn't want to get eaten. I made it to the boat. But the enemy knows this about me. And he knows this about you. This is now where we get serious. No more games. When you're under pressure is when the enemy brings his strongest attack against your life. Because see, when you're all faithed up in a faith-filled room with a couple thousand people like this, he knows he has no hope in this moment. But when it's 4 a.m., and you're wondering why you're still alone, and you're wondering why they left you, and you're wondering why no matter what you do, you can't pay the bills, when you're hard-pressed from every side, that's when the enemy thinks he has a chance of getting at you. Because see, here's the thing about the enemy. This is what you got to understand. The enemy is a defeated foe. His future is already written. He will be defeated, and he knows it. He knows this. But what he does is he lurks. What a gross word, lurks. He lurks around waiting for an opportunity to see if he can get you to join him in defeat. That's his goal for you. His goal for you, my friends, is not the fruit. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It almost sounds like the devil wants to give you freedom. God's pulling you back and not letting you have everything. And the devil wants to just give you the things that your parents and your church said that you couldn't have. My friends, that's not it. The enemy doesn't want to give you freedom. The enemy wants to give you death. And he knows if he can get you away from the Father while you're under pressure, maybe he has a chance. Because in any other circumstance, he doesn't have a chance. See, the enemy's model for your life is Judas. He wants you to betray your heavenly Father, to curse God and die. But God's model for your life is Jesus. He wants you to spend eternity with him in paradise, rejoicing and praising the Lord forever. In streets of gold. They have very different goals, my friend. But be careful when you're under pressure, because that's when he comes. 1 Peter says this, verse 5. It says, be alert and of sober mind, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. When you're under pressure, be alert and be sober-minded. Because this is when the enemy comes for you. If those of you put your hand up saying you're under pressure, be alert right now. Be sober-minded right now. Because he's coming. But here's something that I want you to see. In that verse that was on the screen, you can put it back on the screen, 1 Peter 5:8. You got to read the word of God closely. Because I want to show you a revelation from this verse. What does it say? It doesn't say that the devil is a powerful lion. It says that the devil prowls around like a lion. He's not the lion in your story. You have the lion of the tribe of Judah going before you. You have the king, not of the animal kingdom, of all kings, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the lion in your story. But he prowls around like a lion. He plays dress up. He tries to act more tough than he actually is. But make no mistake, he knows he's defeated. He knows if the action goes down, who's going to win? So here's what he does. He makes noise. He roars. He prowls. He's loud. Anybody in the room have a small dog? You ever been around small dogs? Okay, you know, I beg your forgiveness in advance. I can't stand small dogs. I have one. In fact, you can put her up on the screen. She's a 7-pound killer beast. Look at that vicious killer right there. She's got a vicious name. Her name is Duchess. She does have social media. That's true. She's famous. She's vicious. I know you don't believe me because you're like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen. That little 7-pound thing will latch her teeth onto your nose and never let go until you breathe your last breath. I'm not kidding. She's nasty. She barks all the time. And she's 11 and in perfect health all the time. She was a wedding gift. I won't say anything more. But let me tell you something about little dogs. Little dogs bark a lot. Big dogs, they don't bark much. You know why? Because a big dog knows if the action ever goes down, it's got the jaw for the job, and it's gonna win. But little dogs, they know something. They know if they get in a fight, they're gonna lose. So all they can do is front and flex and make noise. Y'all, we used to live in downtown Toronto. I would walk that dog at night. I saw 6'5" men jump and run in fear of that little thing. I'm like, dude, you know you could kick a 30-yard field goal with this if you wanted, right? And they run. You know why? Because that little thing has a bark on her. I'm not kidding. You know what the devil is like? Like that. Way less cute. But the point I'm trying to make to you is the devil is a whole lot of bark. He's not a lion, but he prowls around like one. And he roars a lot. And when you're under pressure, here's what he does. He comes barking up your tree and says, this is going to be the end of your story. You're still single at 35. You'll always be single. They said no to you and rejected you. Everybody's going to reject you. They said you're not enough. You'll never be enough. That is what the devil does when you're under pressure. Because he's a defeated foe. And he knows if you stay in the game, if you handle the pressure, he knows something that he doesn't want you to know. This is it. He knows that on the other side of the pressure that you are under, on the other side of it, when you get through it, there is going to be power. When you get through the pressure that you're in, somebody should clap harder. When you get through the pressure that you're in, there is going to be power. And if he doesn't convince you to quit right now while you're being pressed, then he's done. If he doesn't bark enough right now to scare you out of the fight, then he's done. So friends, make no mistake, when you're under pressure, he will throw every single thing he has at you. Because he knows when you get through the pressure, the reality is this: pressure produces power. Pressure produces power. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm pressed, so I'm powerful. I'm pressed, so I'm powerful. You don't believe me? Listen to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Amen? Amen? Look, Paul's not making light of your situation. He's not saying the depression you're facing is small and why do you even think about that? No, no, no. He's saying this life is but a vapor. You have an eternity ahead of you of goodness. You have a plan and a hope and a future over your life and a Father who loves you, who's omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful, and fighting for you. He's saying you have so much more, and this pressing serves a purpose. Friends, pressure produces that which is most precious and that which is most powerful. Ladies, engaged or married ladies, let me see you. Hand up. Left hand, real high, very specific. Left hand, left hand, left hand. I don't know why I'm doing that. Left hand. You know what you have on your finger? You have one of the most precious things this world has to offer. You have a diamond on your finger. If you don't, well, I'm sure he's a good man. But if you got a diamond on your finger, you have the most precious thing that this world has to offer by way of value. You know how a diamond is created? Only by one thing. Pressure. Carbon pressure deep below the crust of the surface. Years and years of pressure creates something beautiful and spectacular. Pressure produces that which is most precious. For those of you who aren't married or you know, for those of you who don't yet get it, let me just give you something that you have coming later on in your life. When you have kids one day, you will feel pressure. Amen, this mama said. Amen. When you have kids, you will feel pressure. It's like living with your heart outside of your body, watching it run around, just trying to keep it alive and safe and loving Jesus. It's pressure. It's hard, but it also becomes the most precious thing that you'll ever have, that you'll value more than anything. Pressure produces that which is most precious. Pressure also produces that which is most powerful. I don't want to science geek out on you, but a nuclear reaction is a complex equation to make it happen, of course, but ultimately it boils down to one thing, pressure. The splitting of an atom to create a chain reaction is only done by one thing, pressure. Pressure produces that which is most precious, and pressure produces that which is most powerful. But unfortunately, in 2025, we have learned to despise pressure. We've learned to avoid pressure at all costs. But I want to tell you, pressure is not always bad. You ever met someone that is just different? Like, they just seem so anointed. You know, you ever go somewhere and maybe like the worship leader is just like, she's anointed. Man, she's different. Man, they're different. Man, that drummer up there, that guy's anointed. Come on, give it up for Malik right up there. Come on, Malik. Hit those drums, bro. Come on, praise a little bit. Hit them. The people are sleepy. Hit them. Show me something cool. Don't fail me now. That was not cool. Don't fail me now, bro. Show me something cool. Put that water bottle down. Let's go. Hey, give it up for Malik. That was pressure, but that was powerful. Pressing, my friends, is not always bad. Pressure produces power. See, when you meet someone who's so anointed, maybe you say something like this, man, they're oily. They've been anointed with oil. They're like set apart. They're different. Let me tell you something about oil, anointing oil. You know where it comes from? An olive. You know the only way you get the oil is to go through the press. You want the anointing in your life? You got to get pressed. You see someone on stage and you say, man, they're anointed. I wish I was like them. You know what you're saying? Man, they have been pressed. And I wish I could be pressed like them too. They have a story of pressure that they have been under. In fact, olive oil, what's usually used for anointing oil, olives are pressed 3 times to produce oil. I got bad news for you. You ready? You have a lot more to offer than a stinking little olive. And olives get pressed 3 times. So I don't know how much pressing you're going to have to deal with in this life. But what I do know is what the Apostle Paul said. The glory that will come from the pressing will vastly outweigh the pain that you're in right now. Vastly outweigh. I'm a nerd. Sometimes I get on ChatGPT and just try to learn random things. If you don't know what ChatGPT is yet, you have a whole world ahead of you. Man. And I was learning about eagles because I heard it used in a sermon analogy once in a different way. And the way that eagles raise their baby eagles, eaglets, I heard they're called. Eaglets, weird name. Is pretty crazy. Because see, an eagle sets a nest higher than any other bird. Sometimes 100 feet high. Sometimes 125 feet high. They search for the tallest trees. They're the kings of the sky. And they set a nest up there, and the moms will care for their little ones and bring food up to that nest for a long period of time. And then all of a sudden, one day, the mom does something crazy to the baby eagles. And you know what they did, what the mom does? The mom, with no warning, with no preparation, with no training, pushes the baby eagle out of the nest. 100 feet high, 120 feet high. And in a frantic panic, the baby eagle, not knowing what to do, feeling betrayed, why did mom do this to me? Feeling abandoned, she was supposed to protect me. They were supposed to care for me. They left me. They threw me aside. They pushed me away. In a frantic panic, the eagle starts flapping its wings. And all of a sudden, that baby eagle takes its first flight. And in the pressure moment that they thought was going to kill them, they learn the skill that will make them the king of the skies for the rest of their life. It's how they learn how to fly. There are moments in our lives, friends, where we get pushed, where we get put under pressure, but on the other side of the pressure, you're going to acquire a skill, a blessing, something that is going to make you so much more than you were before the pressure. Somebody give the Lord praise for the pressing that you're in. Say, pressure produces power. Pressure produces power. I think I got it through to you. In fact, the greatest power ever produced in all of human history came from the pressing of Jesus Christ. It's about to be Easter. This is the time of year where we learn this story. And the story starts in a place called Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the night before the crucifixion. And do you know what Gethsemane literally means when you translate it? It means pressing place, oil press. See, Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and at a certain point, he steps away from the disciples, and he's by himself, and he says to the Father, I know what you have for me, but if there's any way that this cup can pass over me, please let it be. He knows he's sweating tears of blood from the anxiety that he's experiencing over what he will have to endure in the morning. Don't forget, Jesus Christ was fully God, but also fully man. Some people think God's son, Christ, didn't experience anxiety. He was sweating tears of blood. That's the ultimate form of anxiety, because he knew the price that he would have to pay in the morning. But you know what? He saw your face and he saw my face, and he said he will go to the cross anyway because he loves you that much. He said, I'll take on the pressing because there needs to be a power. See, there's a sin and there needs to be a power to break the chains of those sin, which is death, hell, and the grave. And if it's got to be me, he says, let it be me, Lord. And the next morning, from the pressing place, Gethsemane, he would accept the press on the cross, and the most powerful commodity of all time, the blood of Jesus Christ, would flow for you and for me for the remission of our sin, casting your sin and your shame as far as the east is from the west. If there's anything you should give the Lord praise about, it's that. That's what he did. So I'm trying to get you to understand this pressure season that you're in, it will not be wasted. Because you have a God who loves you. And with pressure comes power. No power, no pressure, no pressure, no power. Just like an air compressor, if there isn't pressure in it, it has no power. Just like the water pipes in your house, if there's no pressure, there's no power. You need the pressure. Don't loathe the pressure. Instead, remember what Paul says, that the glory on the other side will vastly outweigh your present sufferings. So I hope somebody in this room is getting ready for the precious treasure, the power, and the glory that they are going to experience on the other side of your pressing. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you've been waiting for the job. I don't know if you've been waiting for the baby. I don't know if you've been waiting for the husband. I don't know if you've been waiting for the grade, because no matter what you do, you can't pass. I want to tell you what Paul said. You're pressed, but you're not crushed. And there will be an oil that will flow, an anointing and a power over your life. And when that happens, you'll be able to say, devil, you made a big mistake coming for me when I was under pressure. Because now I'm on the other side and I got the power. And you can get under my feet. I will step on you and destroy you because I have the anointing and power of Christ Jesus who dwells in me, who is greater than anyone who's against me. I'm preaching better than you're clapping tonight. All right, all right, all right. Last point, because I know you want to worship. Last point. Last point. This is what I want you to say when tomorrow morning you're pressed again. I want you to say, I won't give up, devil. Instead, I'll do something else. I will give it up. I will take this pressing and I will point the pressure to where my help comes from. I will give it up to my Father. Here's the whole thing. This is what you've waited 30 minutes for. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Paul said this about the pressure. He says, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Who wants a renewal of their spirit? Come on. So what do we do? For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So here's what you do. Here's what Paul says. This is the whole lesson. When you're being pressed, when it's night, you know joy is in the morning, but you don't know how to get to the morning. You don't know how to get out of the oil press. Here's what you do. Verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is saying this. Paul is saying, if you want to learn how to handle pressure like he did, learn how to fix your eyes upon Jesus. Learn how to look up. Because hear this, if you don't hear anything else I tell you tonight, if you got a problem with my Timo windbreaker and you only listen to preachers who wear suits, that's fine. But hear this, where you run out at the end of your power is where you start to see his. Where you run out is where the creator of the universe runs in. You're looking at somebody on this stage right now who used to be terrified of public speaking. You know, public speaking is the third most common phobia in the world. I used to be an introvert. I wouldn't talk to anyone. The thought of speaking to 20 people made me want to throw up inside. And I remember the first time I got in front of a big crowd just like you. I was on the side of the stage about to go speak, and I was trembling. My knees were shaking. My palms were sweaty. It's not an Eminem song. It's just reality. You didn't hear that. I'm a pastor. I was shaking. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I looked up to God and I said, God, I can't do it. And I heard him say something that changed my life. He said, great, now I can. When you reach a point that the pressure becomes so heavy, sometimes you got to get pressed because you think you can do it. But you can't. Not without him. It's not you can do all things. It's you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Sometimes you got to get pressed to a point where only what is most pure remains. What is the most pure thing? It is him. I heard him say that, and from that day on, everything changed for me. So friends, pressure. Pressure does something that can change your life. Pressure makes you call for help. It's okay to call for help from your Savior. Jonathan, could you play some keys and make me sound spiritual? Thank you. When you're under pressure and you're out of moves and you don't know what else to do, when you're hard-pressed from every side, here's what Paul is telling you. Look up. Look up to where your help comes from. Look up to the one who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hands. He's for you. He's not against you. He loves you. I know you don't know why you've been waiting this long, but he has a plan and he has a purpose. He has a hope and a future for you. So look up. Look up. Because I know you think you're strong, but this life has too many burdens for you to carry on your own. It's why he says in Matthew 11:28, he says, come to me, my child, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He says, I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of this life without him is too heavy. Some of you came in here, you've been trying to do it on your own for all your years. You weren't designed to. The burden is too heavy. The yoke is too heavy. But tonight you have a chance to look up, to invite God in. I think some of you, you've been praying for a way out of your situation, a way out of the pressing. You don't need a way out of the pressing. You need a way in for God. Because when God comes into your story every single thing above earth, below earth, and on earth must bow down, including the enemy, including the depression you've been facing, including the anxiety, including the sickness, including the suffering. It all must bow. When he comes in, the enemy goes out. So I want to invite you to stand on your feet, because we're not done now. Now we get to look up. Now we get to worship. One of my favorite quotes, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, it's in the process of being worshiped that God reveals his presence the most. Someone came here tonight for this simple exercise. They've been looking all around in every direction for a solution. And the only solution is what Psalm 121 says. To lift your eyes to where your help comes from. More important than listening to me, more important than having community, having fun, is an opportunity that you have right now. It is to lift your eyes to where your help comes from. Verse 2 says this, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And here's what he promises you when you look to him. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you like a good shepherd. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. That means you're protected in the light of day when things are going good and in the darkness of night when you don't understand. His hand is over you, protecting you. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now, tonight, and forevermore. But when you're under pressure, you gotta look up. It's too heavy for you to do on your own. So we're gonna sing about a friend. We're gonna sing about a father. Some of you didn't have a father. It wasn't fair. You should have. But tonight I want you to know you have a heavenly father who loves you and will be with you even in the pressing. Because remember, you're hard-pressed, but you're not crushed. You're perplexed. You don't get it, but you're not in despair. You're persecuted, but you have never been abandoned. Not for a minute has he left your side. Even in the weeping, he has been there. He is there. He is here right now. So we're going to worship and sing about the friend that we have.